You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
Everybody, as promised at the top of the show, I am joined today. Our guest today is AJ Spurr. He is the site editor over at Roll Tide Wire, which is part of USA Today. And AJ, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking some Alabama football today.
Thank you so much for having me. We're talking Alabama football. There's plenty to talk about, so let's get right into it.
Yeah, I don't think the sky is falling as much now after Saturday the way it was last week. And I'll tell you, I'll tell a lot of people. So there's Mendoza in Alabama, and Auburn fans, Alabama fans, a lot of Alabama fans that were panicking, and Auburn fans having fun with, of course, what was going on. And I said, we've seen this before. Everybody's down on Alabama. They're thinking, oh, no, the dynasty's over. It's time for Nick Saban to retire. And then they show who they are. Physical football team, run the ball. They win a big game by double digits. But what was your big takeaways from Saturday's game where Alabama beat Ole Miss 24-10?
Well, you know, there were a lot of good things to note. And if you're an Alabama fan, there's a lot to be excited about moving forward as we see this team look a lot more comfortable. And if you mentioned it, so I'm going to talk about it. If you're an Auburn fan, it might be time to, you know, push the brakes on some of these jokes that they were cracking. While I could talk about specifics, really the big thing that stood out to me the most in this game against Ole Miss was that it looked like a completely different team in the second half. And I feel like in the weeks leading up, in the 3 weeks leading up to this matchup, we saw the same team in the first and second halves of all three games. And against Texas, it was to the team's detriment as they ended up losing. Against USF, they ended up squeaking that one out somehow. But against Ole Miss, being down at halftime and then coming out where the defense is hitting harder than ever, and the offense really did seem to click. Jalen Milroe looked a lot more comfortable. The offensive line was a lot more physical. And overall, even the play calls I saw from Tommy Reese, there was just a different type of energy about it. So I'm not sure what happened in the locker room at halftime. I probably wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of a Saban halftime rant while the team is down. But, you know, it was definitely something that we had not seen in the 3 weeks prior. And I think for Alabama fans, you have a lot to look forward to, because heading into a road game against Mississippi State, you would just hope they can carry over that momentum.
Yeah, It was like watching different games. And you know, Jalen Milroe, quarterback. I mean, and that was the big story going into. He did play against South Florida. I think he played really well Saturday. 17-21, 225. He did throw to one interception, forced it. You know, that's one thing he does need to work on. But, you know, I think he'll get that with experience. I think he has all the tools. What was your analysis or your takeaway from the play of Jalen Milroe on Saturday?
Well, look, you can't ignore it. That interception in the red zone was ugly. It was a ball that should not have been thrown, and it was cause for concern, really, with how early in the game it was. A lot of people still unsure about Jalen Milroe. But as I talked about heading into the second half, there were a lot of things I noticed he did differently. He looked more like a confident quarterback. The one play I keep turning to is that 33-yard touchdown pass he had to freshman Jalen Hale, where Milroe not only delivered an absolute strike of a pass into the end zone where only his receiver could get it, but with a defender flying into his face, ultimately landing a hit that grounded him for a good second, he stayed calm in the pocket. He let the defender hit him just so that he could get that throw off. I think a lot of people's concerns around Jalen Milroe are centered around the fact that once pressure gets to him, he kind of freaks out. When there's a designed run for Jalen Milroe, he's a superstar. Nobody can stop him. And that's evident on those types of runs. But when he's scrambling and he has to evade the pocket, I've noticed he's not as confident. He's not too sure where he wants to go with it. And seeing him stay cool in that pocket, despite heavy, heavy pressure and an untimely hit that knocked the wind out of him, apparently, he stayed calm and delivered that strike. And that's what I think everybody wants to see from Jalen Milroe. Be the quarterback, not necessarily the guy that extends plays, but the guy that can deliver the ball when and where the team needs it most.
Yeah, and when you know you're going to get hit, you know, that says a lot about a quarterback, because it's very easy to, hey, okay, I'm just going to take a dive, or I'm just going to hold the ball and brace myself. But no, he delivered the pass, and the pass was great. You're right. And then where he delivered it, only Hale was going to catch that. It's either going out of the back of the end zone, or it's going to be a catch by him. And that was the great thing about that, because a lot of quarterbacks can't do that when they're not getting hit. But to do that as you're getting hit, that was super impressive.
Absolutely. The accuracy was great, and also improvement on the deep ball passes. We saw even in early on in this Ole Miss matchup, Jalen Milroe tried a couple of times to go deep down the field, and he's got a cannon of an arm. I mean, nobody can doubt that Jalen Milroe has the arm strength to deliver the ball wherever on the field it needs to be. It's just a matter of, can it land directly in the intended wide receiver's hands, only where the wide receiver can catch it? And that was 100% exemplified on that one touchdown pass.
You know, talking about the passing game, and I think a big topic of discussion around Alabama has been the pass protection. I think they do a good job in run blocking, but pass protection has been an issue. It was against Texas, and everybody kept saying in that game, AJ said, put the other quarterbacks in. I said, if you don't have Milroe in there right now, you have about twice as more sacks if Simpson or Buckner's back there playing quarterback. But what was your thoughts watching this game against Ole Miss? Solid team. You know, got solid talent there on the defense side of the ball. But the pass protection, how do you think they performed?
Well, you know, we can't ignore the fact that Tyler Booker won SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. So that right there should tell fans everything they need to know. This offensive line stepped up in a big way, and it showed. We go back 1 week to the USF game where both Buckner and Ty Simpson were in at quarterback. And I think a lot about when Simpson was in there, that left side of the line with Caden Proctor in there, they were just getting beat left and right. Ty Simpson never really stood a chance in the pocket because he was just getting pummeled from the blind side every single time. Now, when you have Jalen Milroe in there and he's a threat to run, you know, that in some ways eases the offensive line's mind, I would think, just because, you know, if you make a mistake as little or as big as it may be, there's a chance he can get out of it. You know, a la Bryce Young, where he would extend plays with his feet and make those amazing plays with his arm. Jalen Milroe has yet to show us what he's capable of as far as throwing while on the run. Against Ole Miss, he never really had to do that. The offensive line finally backed up what they've been talking about all offseason, which is, you know, protecting the quarterback at all costs, being physical up front. And there were a couple quotes even after the game. I'm not sure if it was on Saturday. It could have been yesterday. But there were quotes that came out talking about the kind of leader Jalen Milroe is. And actually, it was in response to a question about that hit he took on the 33-yard touchdown pass. And I think it was Tyler Booker that said, you know, when you have a quarterback that's willing to put his body on the line for the team and lead the offense on, you know, such incredible drives that they had against Ole Miss, they are more willing to protect their quarterback, not like they weren't beforehand, but it instills the mentality of, this is our leader. You know, this is the guy that's going to win us football games. We have to do everything in our power to ensure he has an opportunity to complete those passes, to make those plays. And, you know, in the run game, too, the running game was excellent against Ole Miss, creating those running lanes for Roydell Williams, Jace McClellan, whoever it may be. That's extremely vital to this Tommy Rees-led Alabama offense.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like that's kind of like the recipe we've seen in Alabama, because really, you know, everybody makes fun, or they were concerned after the South Florida game. But I remember the second half, Alabama got to the run game. They weren't throwing it as much. Just line up, hand it to your running backs, you know, McClellan, you know, Roydell Williams, all them guys there. And then now, you know, he and Jace had 105 yards in this game, 6.2 yards per carry, and one touchdown. And for Alabama, say, okay, run the ball. Of course, run it with Milroy when the opportunity's there. But also just, you know, just kind of lean into that. And that's kind of seemed like that could be Alabama's, should be Alabama's identity this season.
You know, Alabama's run game, when you look back to the early years of the Nick Saban era, when the dynasty was just coming to fruition in Tuscaloosa, they relied heavily on the run game. There weren't any high-profile, flashy quarterbacks to make plays. Sure, there were a couple wide receivers here and there that made names for themselves as stars on the team, but at the end of the day, they relied so heavily on the run that defenses, even if they planned for it, you know, it wasn't a matter of, do you know it's coming? It's a matter of, can you stop it? And I think that that's what Alabama's offense, you know, Tommy Rees has to let this offensive line know, look, moving forward, this is what we have to do. While the running back is the one that has the ball in their hands, it's the offensive line that makes these plays happen. So I would love to see, and I think Nick Saban knows that this is kind of the recipe for success with this Alabama team in 2023, that running the ball effectively, you know, you just mentioned some of those stats Jace had against Ole Miss. If he can carry that over into Mississippi State next week, you know, Texas A&M on the road, these are some heavy hitting defenses that know it's coming. You just have to make sure they don't stop it. And I think Alabama has all the tools to make that happen. I just need to know for sure whether or not they have the mentality to keep it going for a full four quarters throughout the remainder of this regular season.
You know, flipping over to on the defensive side of ball Saturday, really good against Ole Miss. We all know what Ole Miss wants to do. I mean, Lane Kiffin, I think people outside the SEC, they look at, okay, he likes to throw the ball, quarterbacks. But really, it's a run-based offense with Quinshon Judkins. But if you slow that down and look, I don't know how you feel about it, I feel like Jackson Dart's the kind of quarterback, when the game gets put on his shoulder, he can't really lift the team to that occasion and get past in the win. We saw it last year when they played Alabama, when Alabama took away the run game. They only had 56 yards on the ground in the game, and it went to Jackson Dart. So what was your takeaway with the defense? Because, I mean, they got plenty of sacks, and then, again, like I said, stopping the run game.
Well, they held steady. Even after a first half that I wasn't too impressed with, they came out of that second half angry. You know, I'm not sure what it was that set them off, but Alabama fans should be thankful for whatever that was, because some of these hits, even on special teams, we saw just laying it down. As far as stopping the run and Jackson Dart, look, Chris Braswell does a great job. Dallas Turner, of course, is, you know, one of the stars on that Alabama defensive front. And Deontay Lawson, you know, did his thing. It's a question now, is he going to be healthy enough to play in this upcoming week against Mississippi State? Now, Jackson Dart came out, you know, with the energy that matched Quinn Ewers in week two. He had that we can win this game mentality. And you saw him try to hype up his team on the field, on the sidelines. It just seems like over time, this Alabama defense broke down that Ole Miss offensive line. And, you know, that's going to affect him in the passing game, in the run game, and what he can do when plays break down and if he tries to run. So I was very impressed with Kevin Steele and his defense in week four. I just hope they're ready for this upcoming week with Will Rogers and Mississippi State's air raid.
Yeah, in the game too, you know, I think I lost count how many times Jackson Dart lost his helmet when he was on run plays.
He's got to tighten that chin strap up, because a lot of those weren't even, you know, direct hits to the helmet.
Which I don't know, it might help out Ole Miss a little bit more. So I got Spencer Sanders out there. I got to quit. Everybody's going, you know, which this is a show in Alabama, so I ain't got to worry about the Ole Miss people getting mad at me for picking on the quarterback like I continuously like to do. Looking at that matchup at Mississippi State, and you brought up the air raid, and it felt like we saw the old Mississippi State this past Saturday against South Carolina. Look, they lose 37-30, but Will Rogers, 30-48, 487 yards, one touchdown. He had an interception and a fumble loss. But this is really the first time this year with Mississippi State they really looked like they did under Mike Leach. They kind of more of a run game. Will Rogers was not throwing it as much. But what are your thoughts going into this matchup? And I'm going to go ahead and say this, AJ. There is no reason why, other than because ESPN just wants to do this, that two teams that play in the central time zone should be playing at 8 o'clock at night. But that is just my little bit around that. Look, I'll be up watching it, of course, but I'm just saying, for the other people out there that maybe want to get to bed early, if you're an Alabama fan, Mississippi State fan, not going to happen this week. Well, maybe Mississippi State if the game goes the way we probably think it's going to go. But anyways, what's your thoughts on this matchup between Alabama and Mississippi State?
Well, look, if I'm trying to get cozied up in bed and fall asleep by halftime to a game, let that, you know, belong to the Mountain West or the Pac-12. That has no place in the SEC, especially in an SEC West showdown. between a team that has an electric quarterback, Will Rogers at Mississippi State. Man, you know, he's really made a name for himself there, but you have to wonder, what could he have done elsewhere? With an arm that can throw 50 passes a game, last week against South Carolina, you mentioned it, completed 30, attempted 48. You know, he's got to be sore week in and week out throwing that many passes. But completing that many, throwing for almost 500 yards, and only throwing for a single touchdown, you know, raises a couple red flags to me. But at the end of the day, this is going to come down to if Alabama's secondary is conditioned enough to keep up with such a high-powered, fast-paced offense that is really spread all over the field. I say spread all over the field because they had one, two, three, four different players catch at least five passes. Griffin, mind you, caught seven passes for a whopping total 256 yards and a touchdown. That stat line belongs in Canton, Ohio. All right, that has no place in just a, you know, weekday or a normal weekend game during the regular season against South Carolina. But losing by a touchdown in this game really tells me that Mississippi State doesn't have a lot of quit in them. You know, they are a little shorthanded on defense, but that offense is going to give a lot of teams trouble, if not Alabama. I really do think that the defense that Alabama is going to put on the field this upcoming Saturday is capable of, you know, stopping Will Rogers, or at least limiting the damage that he can do. And this will also come down to discipline. You know, pass interference could be an issue if this Alabama team isn't disciplined. We've seen it, you know, look last year against Texas and this year against Texas. The defense was wild with some of these penalties. Even, you know, last week, the week before, Middle Tennessee too, there are some penalties here that are just absolutely meaningless. And if they're going to be targeting wide receivers deep, you know, you would only hope Kool-Aid, Malachi Moore, and that whole team out there is going to be disciplined enough to cover their man without any defensive holding or pass interference. That's my biggest concern heading into week five.
Hey. And the cowbells will be at full force. We know that too as well. So that's going to be an interesting thing when they go to Starkville. You know, and you know, before we close up, just looking at Alabama, you know, the big picture, rest of the season. My opinion is, I feel like the SEC West comes down to November 4th when LSU comes to Tuscaloosa. That's just how I feel about it. I don't think Texas A&M is quite there to be that team. We obviously saw that Ole Miss is not. But how are you feeling for Alabama when you look at the rest of the season?
You know, it's hard not to stare at that LSU matchup, because I really do think that poses the biggest threat to Alabama's chances at reaching the SEC championship game, which, of course, is needed in order for them to at least have a fighter's chance at reaching the college football playoff. At that point, it's just convincing the committee, hey, we actually do belong here. And in order to do that, they're going to have to run the table. LSU is going to pose some issues. Kentucky on the road could be a sleeper matchup that fans aren't talking about quite yet, just because how early it is, but that could be a game to circle on the schedule. And then, of course, the Iron Bowl taking place on the road in Jordan-Hare. Wild things happen in that matchup when they're in that stadium. So that's another one that I would keep an eye out for. But if I really had to pick one game that's going to give the Crimson Tide trouble, it's got to be LSU in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, look, as a guy, I cover Auburn for Last Run College Football, too. I write about them. I told my Alabama people I know, friends, I said, look, we all know what happens. When it goes to Tuscaloosa, it's usually multiple touchdowns, Alabama wins. But when it goes to Jordan-Hare, whoever knows what's going to happen. We remember, 2 years ago, Auburn wasn't a good team. Bo Nix was out hurt. Auburn still liked to beat Alabama, so it's one of those games in that stadium. It's a wild ride. AJ, this has been a lot of fun having you on, talking all things Crimson Tide. If the listeners out there and wanted to check you out online, where can they find you all the work you're doing?
Well, they can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at SpurFM. That's SPURR and then FM, like the radio dial. And then if they want to check out what's going on in Roll Tide Wire, that's RollTideWire.USAToday.com. And we're covering all things Crimson Tide, all different sports. But right now with football season in full swing, we are covering the Crimson Tide, the intricacies of the team, and highlighting upcoming matchups. So stay tuned for a lot of great in-depth content.
All right, everybody, go check out AJ and all the great writers over at Roll Tide Wire. And AJ, once again, I appreciate the time, and I hope we can do this again sometime down the road.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to The Philip Jordan Show. Subscribe to the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch the show over at the Philip Jordan Media YouTube channel. Got a question or topic idea? Email the show at sportstalkphilipjordan@gmail.com. Join us next time for more great football talk.